Good evening. Welcome to City of Angels Family and Recovery. My name is Bill, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hi, Bill. How you doing, everybody?
We're here for our next show on Boundaries Part 2, actually. Last month was Boundaries Part 1. We hope you've enjoyed it. And tonight we're going to continue with Boundaries. It's a big topic. But before I start, what I want to say is that you can reach Kathy and I, email us at Kathy and Bill, cityofangelsnj.org, and that's Kathy with a C. If you need any help right now, you could call City of Angels at 609-910-4942. So tonight, I want to start you off with a little story of boundaries for tonight. Marsha was watching TV, sitting on the sofa. Tammy, her sister, comes in the house and turns the channel. Marsha is feeling all upset inside. Tammy didn't even ask her. She didn't even care. But Marsha didn't want to get in a fight with her sister. So she just sat there stewing and anger within herself because Tammy just walked in and changed the channel. And so we have what we call is compliant people. Compliant people are those who deny their own boundaries just to keep the peace. So Marsha didn't want to get Tammy upset. She didn't want to hear it. And so she allowed Tammy to take advantage of her. Do you see that in your household? Does the addict come into your house, barge in, take things, money, car keys, come in and change a channel on the TV? Not even caring about boundaries in the family within you. So there's this compliant people. They politely deny their own boundaries. Now, there's two specific boundaries in this conflict between Marsha and Tammy. One is the inability of the compliant Marsha to set clear limits with her sister, Tammy. And then there's the inability of the aggressor controller person, and that would be Tammy. She's the aggressive one in controlling the situation with changing the channel, to respect her sister, the compliant one who's denying their boundaries and try to keep the peace. And so she, the aggressive controller, doesn't respect those boundaries. Now, of course, the denying one, which is very interesting about, well, who needs to take ownership here? Because the compliant person needs to know that they aren't a victim. You're like, no, they are a victim. The controller's taking control. Well, actually, the compliant person is volunteering their power. So Marsha is volunteering her power to her sister. She gives up her power. That's, you know, what her issue is. Compliant person, Marsha, controls the aggressive controller, her sister Tammy, by pleasing her, hoping that this appeasing her will cause her to change her behavior and become nice to her, which it doesn't normally. an aggressive controller needs to own that they have difficulty in hearing and listening to no and accepting limits on others. So I just want to give you that, start off with a little story about Marsha and Tammy. Well, we're going to continue on from last month where we had started with who needs these boundaries. We went through a bunch of scenarios. We want to continue them a little bit here. So, Kath, why don't you start us off? And matter of fact, this one here goes to the exact story I just said.
Oh, yeah. So another one is that we say yes because you're fearful of disapproval. So we say yes in a situation, you know.
Yeah, we don't want people to be mad at us. How many of us work that way in our family dynamics?
Yeah.
Where we're trying to, as Marsha did, try to keep the peace.
Right.
You know, by allowing her own boundaries to be violated. How many times have you tried to think you're helping your addict by not acknowledging they stole your money? You know the money's missing from your bureau, but
right.
No, I don't want them to be mad at me.
It fell behind the bureau.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, we have this fear of this people not liking us or disapproving of us. All right, so another one is, if you're a person that just kind of loves to get into situations with other people, we get caught up in matters that really don't involve us.
Yeah, like you see somebody arguing or having a discussion and you're near them and for some reason you feel like you have to jump in and fix it for them.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
Oh, here's another good one. Do you have individuals in your life who aren't taking responsibility for themselves and who you feel responsible for?
Well, that's the big one.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, right.
Isn't
with the addict
the
in our lives. So
uh-huh.
Again, there may be definitely, you may need boundaries here. You need to set.
Well, I think the issue here with this one is we want to just tell them exactly how to do things, and we don't want to allow them to have the time to make mistakes or, you know, have problems while
consequences.
So it's like we don't want to let there be an uncomfortable period of time while they're trying to learn how to take care of their responsibility. So we just try to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And they're not learning anything. They're not going to do what you tell them.
No, because you're taking, you know, you feel responsible for them.
Exactly.
I feel responsible for my addict. No, your addict's 18, 20, 21, whatever, yeah. You know. If your addict is a 15-year-old, that's a minor, then you are very much in charge of that. And do have responsibility for that 15-year-old. But
that's
once
correct.
Once they're old enough, you no longer have that responsibility, and it changes the dynamics
yeah.
and the boundaries. And you may be trying to still function with that 18, 19, 20-year-old as if they were a 15-year-old.
Right.
And mm-hmm. they're not. And this could cause then depression, exhausted,
right.
and unsupported. So if you have those feelings right now, like I'm totally exhausted of the dynamics going on with my addict, my spouse, a friend, because of addiction, and you're depressed, exhausted, then it may show you that you're not setting healthy boundaries because
right.
you're not energized.
That's right.
Yeah. If you're letting your boundaries
because
be violated.
Because if you don't take care, I've been talking to mothers lately and you know, they go around trying to fix everything, but they're not taking care of themselves. And I'm trying to encourage these mothers that if they set an example and if they really deal with their own issues and set their own life in order, their family is going to follow suit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And just to bring a quick little spiritual element in, when we think of the Bible, Christ, right? When we have Jesus who walked the earth healing people, I mean, he was overwhelmed. Boundaries, talk about people constantly coming up to him and help me, help me, help me. Talk about exhaustion. But you know what? He took care of himself. The Bible says he went up on a mountain
That's
in the
right.
early mornings
That's
and
right.
just relaxed to commune with God in heaven. He went to friends' house, Lazarus,
That's
Martha,
right.
and Mary's house, and often just resided there to get away from the crowds. You need to figure out if you're depressed, exhausted, unsupported,
That's
you
good.
Need to say, am I actually not taking care of myself? God in the Bible modeled for you taking care of yourself,
That's
but here
right.
you may not be. Yeah.
So and how about this is another one. Do you find it difficult to identify who you are, what you stand for, and what you will and won't tolerate, and back it up with courage and action? That's really a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Because we get so lost in everybody else.
Yeah.
You may get lost if you have an aggressive spouse who's always taking charge. You may not even know how you feel. Sometimes I watch, I'm one who defaults a lot. Somebody says, where do you want to go to lunch? I don't care. You know, you pick. You know, I default away. What would I really want to eat if it was just me?
Yeah,
you know. And sometimes I just don't. That's
sometimes
like
it's okay because you don't really care. But
I understand.
Times,
but
know.
The point is, do you have difficulty identifying who you are?
Exactly,
because you're always giving in. You're always the compliant one,
right?
And so you really don't know what your opinion is.
Yeah. Another one is: do you attract rude, arrogant, and manipulative people?
Yeah.
Then you're probably not setting really good boundaries for yourself.
Yeah, I think Dr. Phil says something about that, about the way we act.
Well, we teach people
oh,
how
that's
to
it.
We teach people how to
treat us. Yeah, we
yes.
teach people how to treat us by the way we respond to them. So
correct.
If I'm not setting healthy boundaries, I allow these people to come up and get into my face
and then we think we're a victim.
Yeah, we're a victim.
It's really our fault.
It is, because we're compliant. We're being compliant to that behavior and allowing it to happen because we don't want to set that healthy boundaries. We think we're a victim, but we're not. We're volunteering to give up our power because we're afraid to set those boundaries because maybe we want their approval or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
I think it's really hard for people to get into the concept that changing their own lives and their own boundaries and setting clear I need this from you, being vulnerable with people. People just don't realize that that's what's going to change. There's so much power within yourself to make change happen.
Oh, that's a big statement.
Well, there is, because if I start to make a different move in our relationship and start to empower myself, then you're going to have to adjust to that.
Yeah.
You might not like it, but you might not even know you're doing it, but you have to adjust. And it's like, I want to empower everybody out there listening that you have a lot of power in what happens if you take care of you and start to set clear boundaries.
Yeah, I think about my buddy and I. Chuck, here's a call out to Chuck. My buddy and I have been working with another fellow. So, you know, we're working with this guy who wants to blame his wife for everything. You know, she's the problem. She's the problem. And you know what's interesting? We've said to him, well, actually, you know, the problem that you see in your wife is probably not the main problem. If you worked on you and your relationship, that problem would probably go away.
That's correct.
But the whole emphasis was working on you. Mm-hmm. Because the person constantly wants to blame the other.
That's right.
See, the addict is going to be the addict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may desire their best interest for them to be healthy, and they're all good thoughts, but the addict is the addict. And you tie your whole life up and all your energy and all your frustrations now come out, and anger and resentments, because they're not becoming healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just work on you, set those healthy boundaries. If you have to, change the locks on a door.
Be calm.
Mm-hmm. Know who you are. Mm-hmm. Know, understand, take care of yourself. Go on with your life with your friends.
Yes.
Go out on vacations and holidays and surround yourself with healthy family members. Mm-hmm. Then that actually may enable that addict and to be able to make their own choices, because they're seeing they're
so
missing out on a healthy lifestyle.
It's so true.
You just keep chasing and running them around. So, yeah, and then, you know, so then we were just talking about, you know, do you attract this rude, arrogant people by not taking care of yourself? And therefore, you know, the ultimate extreme is of those rude, arrogant people is that they actually voice criticisms about you, you know, or they try to persecute you in some way by doing things against you. Again, creating you who has this, may have a victim mentality, just exacerbates that, because they're now criticizing you. So now they're saying you should be doing this,
or
you shouldn't be doing that to your addict son. You shouldn't be setting healthy boundaries and letting them go through that hard time. Can you imagine you find friends like that, or supposedly be friends?
Yeah, and then you feel like, wow, I really lack support, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have any support.
So even the people that said they were my friends, they don't even support me now because they're criticizing me.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who you are and you haven't set your healthy boundaries.
This is a big one. Often feel like you're overly sensitive to other people's energy and tend to take on their stuff. Remember, you and I had to do this in the beginning of our recovery, was if you were having a really bad day, or if you were angry, or if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, that I really didn't need to take on your feelings. And that's that takes some separate... That takes some ability to have boundaries and say, I don't have to fix him. He can have those feelings. I don't have to take them on for him.
Yeah, I think that's big.
You know, I think that's big. A big one. And a lot of
times, I don't have to be depressed.
Correct.
If you're depressed that day,
right.
I could still be happy.
Yeah.
You know, it may be polite for me not to be in your face overly giddy and happy while you're sitting there.
Right.
But I don't have to become like, oh yeah, man, everything stinks.
Or try to fix you.
I don't have to try to fix you. Yeah. You know, do you think if you're having a bad day and I'm happy, like, you'll be mad at me?
If you're having a bad day?
Yeah, well, let's say you were having a bad day, and I decided I don't have to take on those feelings.
Oh,
I'm
right.
going to be happy.
Oh, will I be mad at you?
Is there like a change back message that kind of
says, it might be annoying.
Hey, I want you to be sad too.
It might be annoying if you're first starting to set those boundaries. Yeah.
Well, and I think about change backs, right? People like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm sad. Why are you happy? And then you become mad at that person.
Yeah. Like, I'm miserable. I want you miserable too.
Yeah. That's unhealthy boundaries. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that concludes from last month. Who needs these boundaries? So these were examples, whether or not you could use some boundary tweaking. Boundary enhancing,
how to
make your boundaries healthier.
Okay, Bill, so now we're going to talk about who needs boundaries, is sort of going along with what we already did, you know, when we talked about how your boundaries look. And now we're going to talk about who especially needs them. There's three type of people who particularly need boundaries. Number one are doormats. And these people have been raised to believe that martyrdom, self-denial, and this incessant caretaking are righteous virtues to be practiced to the point of misery. And they actually really love being in misery. They allow others to take advantage of them.
Yeah, you know, what I'm thinking when you say that, they love to be in misery.
Oh, they do.
I have this in my notes coming up, that you've identified your role so long you don't really know what it looks like or feels like to have the healthy boundaries.
And you really do think it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah, everybody else's fault. You're the victim. You're the, you know, what do they call it there, the martyr.
Yeah.
I remember years ago because my mom had seven kids. So there was a lot of us. And, she had it very, very hard. And I remember her yelling one day about, hey, you know, you kids have 76,000 pair of shoes and I got one pair. There's that sense of martyrdom.
Yeah, exactly.
You're always giving, giving, giving. You're never appreciated. Everybody else is getting everything and you're getting nothing. So you're like a martyr, you know. So, yeah, I can relate to what you're saying there about the doormat. The doormat's always sacrificing themselves.
So the next person who really needs boundaries is the enabler. And we talked for a whole show on enabling in January. So you'll want to go back to our January 15th, 2015 show and check that out. It's all about enablers. But enablers are those who give their kids, family members, everything that they themselves didn't have. And they protect them from every problem and emotion. And it's the other side of a coin, and it's just as bad as the, you know, the other side of the doormat.
Yeah, by doing all that, you never allow the other, your child, to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
You don't modify.
You make all their decisions
for
them. Yeah.
And what ends up happening is they create kids that have a sense of over-entitlement, over-protection, and an inflated sense of self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know, they're,
yeah, absolutely.
And some of the signs of, if you're an enabler, or you're constantly telling others what to do, you're always warning them about what will happen if he doesn't do it, you bring up the past of what he did wrong, you give him solutions when he hasn't asked for them.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Enablers are always giving advice. Even with me, I remember you saying to me, I'm not asking for a solution.
I know.
Just sharing where I'm at. Yeah, yeah. We're so quick.
You have to kind of get the clue when people are receptive and when they're not.
Yeah.
And then you're preaching about what people should and shouldn't do. You're criticizing, you're mind reading, and you're sending guilt trips. If you're doing any of those, then you're probably an enabler.
Yeah, and there's a lot of detrimental ramifications of being an enabler.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And you're still doing it now with your addict. You're bailing them out. You're enabling them to continue.
And you're really
crippling
them.
Go back and listen to our January 15 show.
Absolutely. And then the third type of person that really needs boundaries is a pleaser. Some people focus so much on pleasing others that they don't focus on taking care of themselves. You know, they avoid conflict. They have no sense of who they are, what they feel, need, want, or think. They take on the feelings of others as if they are their own. And sometimes they tolerate abuse or disrespectful treatment. And can't see the flaws and weakness in other people.
Yeah, because you feel like the conflict means you don't love.
Right, right.
That is like a fundamental flaw to the thinking of the unhealthy boundary person, is that they think if there's any confrontation, if there's any conflict, if you were to put yourself first, if you did, that, you know, you don't love.
Right.
They always default to that, you know,
yeah,
it's not loving.
I think it's really hard to be vulnerable and ask for your needs. And so, you know, it's a lot easier to go around and tell everybody else what to do and how to feel. And
yeah, well, and then even if you ask for your own needs, they may not get met. So maybe you don't like rejection.
Right.
The confrontation. You know, I need some peace and quiet. You know, you don't get peace and quiet. Well, not right in that house. You know, you'd have to leave to get it.
Right.
And you're
unwilling
to do that.
Yeah.
You know, all of these boundaries that we're talking about, who needs, and some of the examples that we're given, they're hard. It's hard because, as I said a minute ago, it's hard because, first of all, they haven't been modeled for you.
Right.
As the person with unhealthy boundaries, you know, if you're the enabler or you're a doormat or the people pleaser, they have become so ingrained
in
you, your unhealthy interactions and the way you perceive healthy and unhealthy, that they're so ingrained in you. That it becomes hard to do.
Before our recovery, did you fall into any of these particular ones?
For me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. When I was a child and I was an addict, I would say I was more of that aggressor controller, you know, meeting my own needs and walking over the boundaries of everybody else in my household. You know, I look back now and, yeah, I wish I could have done things differently. Yeah. But I was.
Because I mean, I know I was a pleaser. You know, I just did everything to please everybody else because I kind of wanted to.
You give
hide.
Your power away.
Give my power away.
Give your power away. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it's again, it's very hard then to break those roles.
Very
if
much.
If you're
so.
In a people pleaser mm-hmm. role, it's hard to break that role. Mm-hmm. Because again, like you said, if you go to break the people pleaser role, mm-hmm. You're going to probably feel guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're going to set healthy boundaries for you, say, I'm not going to please you, you know.
And I'm going to have to deal with other people being uncomfortable.
They'll be uncomfortable. They may be mm-hmm. angry. They
yes.
may come back and,
yes.
with, you know, go back to your old role of being a people pleaser. We want it our way. We want it our way.
That's right.
I should be able to come in your house, Mom, and what, steal your money. I should be able to come in your house at 3 a.m. and wake you up. Oh, yeah, well, I don't like it, but I allow it to happen. You know, so because I'm a people pleaser, I think I show my addict that I love them by allowing them to violate the household and myself. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. They're very hard to break because you put the needs and feelings of others first.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting that addict first. You know, I mm-hmm. care so much for the addict that I allow them to violate me, come into my house at 3 a.m., steal my money and pretend that they didn't steal it.
That's really a big trait of a codependent person.
It is, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we, didn't we do a show on codependency?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what month
that was. Our first show ever.
Oh, first show.
July 14, 2014.
There
was
you
on
go.
Codependency.
Go back and see that one, codependency.
Because that's the core issue of everything, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, you really don't know yourself because you have given yourself away. You hear what I'm saying? And if you've given yourself away so much and so often by being a people pleaser or enabler or a doormat that you really don't know yourself. Because really, think about it. If the problem was out of your life, if the addict was out of your life completely, who would you be? What would be your hobbies? What would be your likes and dislikes? Have you ever taken a vacation and just got away with no stress and anxiety? You see what I'm saying? I don't know, Bill. I'd never give it a thought because my whole life is so wrapped around the addict. You know, you end up feeling you don't have rights. Everybody else has the rights. They could step on you, step over your boundaries of who you are, that doormat thing. You believe that setting the boundaries would jeopardize the relationship that, again, which I mentioned a second ago, that the addict won't love you anymore. And in reality, I think you're not loving the addict by not setting healthy boundaries. But we switch it and we think that I'm not showing love if I was to set healthy boundaries. So, yeah. And you don't want to lose that relationship. Again, it's very hard to do because you never learned these healthy boundaries. I just mm-hmm. got done saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are learned.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the roles. Matter of fact, you could go out and get a book called Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend.
Oh, it's a very good book.
Excellent book. Go get mm-hmm. that book. It's called Boundaries, when to say yes, when to say no, to take control of your life.
Yeah.
And some
we'd
of our material is from their book. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, now, some of this could come back from your childhood, too. Because if you weren't valued as a child, you didn't learn that you had these boundaries. Any kind of abuse violates your personal boundaries, including even simple things like teasing. If you were teased as a child, you know, for instance, if your brother ignored your pleas for him to stop tickling you until you barely could breathe. That's a boundary violation. Now, there's times when kids play and they tickle, and that's okay because they know when to stop. When mm-hmm. when one child finally says, enough, push them off, and they stop. But if they kept going, then it becomes a violation of your boundaries. Who knows? You could have been violated with just a simple thing like that, modeled unhealthy boundaries. And if you picked up on it, you could become somebody who violates boundaries, or you could end up on the other side and think that's normal, allow people to do that to you and overstep their boundaries in you. So, so again, from your childhood could affect it. And these are all reasons why it could be very difficult to set healthy boundaries. All right, Kath, let's go into our spiritual segment. I'm thinking of God and his boundaries. The concept of boundaries comes from the very nature of God. God defines himself as a distinct, separate being, and he is responsible for himself. God defines and takes responsibility for his personality by telling us what he thinks, what he feels, what he plans, what he allows, and what he will not allow, what he likes and dislikes. God also defines himself as separate from his creation. He differentiates himself from others. He tells us who he is and who he is not. For example, He says that he is love and that he is not darkness. God also limits what he will allow to happen in his yard. You know, we're talking about property lines like your yard. God tells us what he'll allow in his yard, right? He confronts sin and he allows consequences for the behaviors. That's why this world is the way it is. God is letting people make their choices and he loves everybody. Where you and I may only love those that we are directly connected and attached with. He guards his house. God guards his house and will not allow evil things to go on there. He invites people in who will love him. And he lets his love flow outward to them at the same time. The gates of his boundary open and close appropriately depending on the receiver and how the other person is relating to God. The Bible says that we are to confront people we love, saying, no, that behavior is not okay. I will not participate in that. The word no is also important, setting limits on abuse. Many passages in scriptures urge us to say no to others. Sinful treatment of us is wrong. You find that in Matthew 18, 15 to 20. Your words define your property line for others. As you communicate your feelings, your intentions, your likes, your dislikes, just like God has told us his. It is difficult for people to know where you stand when you do not use words to define your property. You just expect them to know, and yeah, we do that some, right? Oh, I thought you would just know. Well, not really. God does this when he says, I like this and I hate that. He defines it clearly. I will do this. And I will not do that. We need to do that. Your words let people know where you stand and thus gives them a sense of your edges of your property that help identify who you are. For instance, I don't like it when you yell at me. See, I'm defining my property line. It gives a clear message about how you conduct your relationships. You see, I don't yell at you and I don't like people yelling at me. It's like letting people know the rules of your yard, your life, and who you are. Knowing the truth about God and his property puts limits on you, right? You understand God says what? Thou shalt not kill, steal, lie, bear false witness, right? So God tells you his limits. And by knowing God's limits, it shows you his boundaries. And you know what? And this can help you kind of define yourself in relationship to him. Because then you know what that relationship's like. And if you're going to what? Lie, cheat, steal, you're not going to walk with God. See, and that's why you're going to see later as we go into the program some more, we talk about certain relationships may have to leave you. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Proverbs 22:3 says that the prudent man sees evil and hides himself from it. Sometimes physically removing yourself from a situation helps maintain your boundaries. You can do this to replenish yourself physically, emotionally, or spiritually after you have given to your limit, as Jesus often did. He went away and took care of himself. We need to do the same. There are two reasons why you need others to help you with your boundaries. The first is that your most basic need of life is for relationship. All of us want relationships. We want to be loved. Those of us who've been hurt the most kind of run from relationships. And we have very few friends and very few relationships. But those of us that have learned how precious relationships can be, we love them and we are empowered and excited and have joy from them. This is a basic need of humans. People suffer much to have relationships, right? We put ourselves out to have relationships. We put up with behavior that drives us crazy because we want relationships. And many put up with abuse because they fear that their partner will leave them and they will be alone if they stand up to them. Fear of being alone keeps many in hurtful patterns for years. They are afraid that if they set boundaries, they will not have any love in their life. Now, I have to find those people, or if I set the proper healthy boundaries like God does in his word, then only certain people will have relationships with God who abide and respect his boundaries. And the same with you. You will find a new group of people. And those relationships, those other people will empower you and give you victory. And when I think about our feelings should neither be ignored or placed in charge. We have our feelings. They tell us what we're feeling, but they shouldn't be in charge. They shouldn't be driving us. The Bible actually says, own your feelings, but be aware of them. They can often motivate you to do much good, such as the Good Samaritan story. The guy went out and helped somebody who was beat up by muggers, or the father's love and compassion for his son who ran away. So feelings do move us to have compassion. Feelings come from your heart, and they can tell you the state of your relationships. Right? I feel love towards you. That means our relationship's doing well. They can tell you if things are going well, but they can tell you if there's a problem too. If you feel close, loving things are probably going well. If you feel angry, you probably have a problem there that you need to address. People with boundary problems usually have distorted attitudes about the responsibilities. Either we over or under functioning. It's another one of our shows you could look up. So they have a distorted attitude about responsibilities. They feel that to hold people responsible for their feelings, their choices, and their behaviors is mean. However, in the Bible, Proverbs repeatedly says that setting limits and accepting responsibility will save lives in Proverbs 13, 18, and 24. Behaviors have consequences. Paul says a man reaps what he sows. The problem comes when somebody interrupts the law of sowing and reaping in another person's life. We stop it. They're going to go to jail or they got to pay a ticket, but we interrupt it. A person's drinking or abuse should have consequences for the drinker or abuser. The Bible says stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. It's Proverbs 15:10. To rescue people from the natural consequences of their behavior is to render them powerless. We need to take the responsibility for our choices, and this leads to what is called the fruits of self-control in the Bible, Galatians 5:23. And we got to set the boundaries and allow others to reap the results of their choices. Well, thank you for joining me for these few minutes on the spiritual section, and I hope you've been blessed, and let's go on with our program.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about how to set healthy boundaries.
Yeah, this is what it all comes
steps
to.
Steps to setting healthy
boundaries.
How do we
boundaries? Do it, Bill? You've given us all kinds of reason about defining boundaries and types of boundaries and who needs boundaries and why do we need boundaries and
what do they look like?
What
now?
Do they look like? And now yeah. We're going to get into actually how do we, you know, what's a healthy boundary look like?
Yeah.
We just got done mentioning that. You may grow up your life and don't even know what a healthy boundary looks like. So we're going to get into that right now.
Okay, so setting a healthy boundary involves taking care of yourself and knowing what you like, need, want, and don't want. It also involves going inside of yourself to figure out what you feel and then clearly communicating that with the other person. And we could stop right there because I know most of you out there are saying, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. It's asking you to take care and look at yourself. And
yeah.
That's what this is all
and you
about.
And you might not have done it for years
exactly.
upon years upon
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know
but if you do, see, healthy boundaries allows you to have respect for yourself, like your own self-esteem, that it shows that you love yourself and are taking care of yourself. You see? So that's what these healthy boundaries will allow you to do. So I know it may be hard thinking about doing this, but it... Like, for instance, it will allow you and help you define what personal information you should, dish out. What do you want to share with people? You ever get in a group of people and somebody starts talking and you start becoming uncomfortable because they're really talking some deep stuff and you're like, whoa, that's kind of heavy. Again, maybe that person thought that everybody in that circle might have been intimate, supportive friends, but again, yeah. it might not have been. So healthy boundaries will help you know that you're keeping yourself safe, that you'll only give out information at the rate that you want to give it out and that you feel safe with, about sharing and trusting in relationships. And that's what boundaries does.
So in other words, you're telling people to start to respect themselves enough to be careful what they share with other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And of course, we already talked about this earlier. You know, the boundaries will allow you to protect yourself physically and emotionally. It will help you to have an equal partnership because if you think about it, your partnership with your addict is not equal.
Mm-hmm.
They're abusive. They're taking advantage of you. And they may be coming from the victim. They may be saying, oh, I'm hurt and I need this. They may be using that victim angle, but they're still actually using you and abusing you. It's not an equal relationship partnership. My wife and I have an equal partnership. I meet her needs. She meets my needs. I meet my needs. She meets her needs. It's equal. It's a give and take. We respect each other's boundaries. We talk about those boundaries.
Especially the other day on my honey made apple pies.
I did. I made
the
apple pies.
And they were the best apple pie I've ever had.
There you go. But again, boundaries will allow you to be assertive. You know, you'll be able to assert yourself and confidently say yes or no and be okay with others who say to you yes or no. You see, so you don't have to get all aggravated that I say, no, I don't want to make apple pies. And to be able to accept that and say, okay, that's where you're at. That's what you're up to. And, you know, be able to say confidently. It will help. These boundaries are going to help you separate your needs, thoughts and feelings and desires from others. Mm-hmm. They're not going to merge in and become enmeshed. It's called enmeshment. Mm-hmm. You're going to recognize what your boundaries are and your needs are, and they're different from other people. And they don't have to have your same boundaries you have. You just have to understand what your boundaries are. And this is what boundaries are going to do. They're going to allow you to empower yourself to make healthy choices for you.
So this is a really good point. So you have to listen to this one over and over. If you are the loved one of an addict, you'll need to remember that nothing positive can come from allowing inappropriate behavior to continue. Not setting boundaries will enable your loved one's addiction to continue. Mm-hmm. So that puts the responsibility on you. If you're continuing to not set boundaries, your loved one's addiction probably will continue. When we truly love an addict, we need to change our own behavior so that we are helping the addict, theirs and ours, to stop our own behavior. The first step towards this vital, important goal is to recognize, establish, and maintain boundaries that hold everyone involved accountable for their own actions.
Yeah, exactly. So what we want to do then is give you some examples. We want to talk about those boundaries.
So boundaries need to be clear, specific, and clearly communicated. You may need to think about what you want to say and how you want to say it before you doing so. You could practice with someone else who can help you. Like I run through things with you sometimes.
And, oh, yeah. We talk about things. Situations will come up and I'll go talk to my wife because it could be in the heat of a moment. Something happened. I'm all aggravated or excited about, you know, this issue just occurred. And I'll go tell her how I feel. Mm-hmm. What I want to see happen, what I think should happen. See, so I'm going to practice with her about, well, I'm thinking about going to tell them this, mm-hmm. you know, because she's a friend of mine that she'll understand healthy boundaries or not and say, yeah, well, you know, that boundary may be appropriate or inappropriate. And we talk. Yeah. The thing is, you have to find somebody that has healthy boundaries.
Right.
Understands
right.
Because right now you may be surrounded with a bunch of people who do not have healthy boundaries.
Right.
And that's
right.
why going to a Narnon meeting.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and other AA meetings and whatever, you could find some people who understand the steps and healthy boundaries.
Absolutely. And then when you identify the need to set a boundary, you need to do it clearly, calmly, firmly, respectfully, and in as few words as possible. So if you're setting a boundary, you're not going to be around yelling and being out of control.
Right.
Quiet. Yeah. And do not justify, get angry, or apologize for the boundary you are setting. That's a very big one. You start saying, oh, I'm sorry, I have to set this boundary. I'm so sad.
Oh, my.
No, yeah, it's horrible for you.
I have so many people come up to me and say, I'm sorry. I say, for what? You know, it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, what are you sorry for? Just because you have your opinion or thought? Yeah. You know, and they're constantly saying, I'm sorry. And I'm like, drives me nuts. It's
exactly.
like, you don't have to tell me you're sorry because you're giving me your opinion about something.
Right, right.
Yeah. So here's some examples.
These are good.
So now we're going to practice them. Ready? Your child comes up to you and wants you to drive them to the mall. Yes, I'll be happy to drive you to the mall as soon as you're finished with your chores. Now, this is for a young child. So they have chores to be done. You've already set the boundary that the chores should be done. So, yeah, I'll drive to them all as soon as you're done with your chores.
And see, that's such a clear boundary.
Yep.
And it's placing the responsibility on the child. So I really want, and here's another one. I really want to hear about your day. I'll be free to give you my full attention in 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's a scary moment because you're exerting yourself.
Right. The other person might go huffing and hum, puffing away. So, oh, he doesn't want to talk to me now.
What was funny is this just happened with us yesterday or something.
It did.
I happened to have something happen during the day.
And
my wife knew about
it
and she wanted to know how it went. Mm-hmm. But by the time I got home, the day was a long day. And I came in the house and she said, so what happened? And I started to try to recall what happened. And my attention was diverted. It was a long day. I really just had no emotion to get into recalling everything that happened.
Your mind was going blank.
And so I just said to her, I said, you know what? Not now. Right. Not now. We'll pick it up later. And she graciously said, okay, we'll pick it up later.
Yeah.
But again, people with unhealthy boundaries would have violated themselves.
Oh, I would have been like, I would have been mad or angry that she couldn't think of it.
Exactly. You can borrow my CDs just as soon as you replace the one that you damaged.
See? Yeah. It's a very good boundary.
I bet you can't even imagine yourself saying that to somebody, right?
See, that's so perfect.
They already broke and lost. They haven't haven't returned three CDs to you, and they're asking for another one. But you don't have the right to take care of yourself, respect your own boundaries by saying to them, sure, I'll lend you another CD as soon as I get the other three back.
So good.
Or you replace the one you broke last time.
And you see how, like, calm and everything?
Yeah, you don't have to be angry about it.
And here's another one. If you put your dirty clothes in the hamper by 9 a.m. Saturday morning, I'll be happy to wash them for you.
There's a boundary.
If they're not in there by 9 o'clock, then they're not going to be washed.
Right. And so that person may come scream at you at 9:30 because they didn't get them in there and they're not washed. They may come scream. You don't have to get defensive.
No.
You don't have to justify yourself.
Nope.
You know, you can be
calm. I'm sorry you missed that.
Healthy boundary was given.
Yeah. Here's another one.
So someone's calling you at your house.
Yeah.
They're asking you, can I give message Jessica? Yeah. Maybe it's like your daughter. Can I give your daughter, Jessica, a message?
And so she replies that our calling hours are from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. I'll let her know that you called.
Yeah.
So that's another clear boundary.
Yeah, absolutely. You got clear boundaries. And you state those clear boundaries. I'm sorry if that doesn't work for me. I won't be loaning you money until you have paid me what I loaned you previously.
Very good.
See, so again, somebody coming up to you asking you for the money. You're setting a healthy boundary. I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me. So you're kind of making it an I statement. We're going to get into that in a second. You're making an I statement. This doesn't work for me. I'm not going to be loaning you the money. Not I can't, because you could always give them. I won't be loaning you money until you have paid me what you previously
loaned. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. You're welcome to live here while you go to college as long as you follow our rules.
There you go.
And I was in my Narnon group the other day, and somebody was talking about how they had like a 36-page rules. And how they realized that was a bit overboard.
A little bit overkill.
You got to set clear, simple rules, not over crazy, you know.
Yeah, 36 pages maybe.
Yeah,
that's a
little bit much.
You know, and then again, here's a simple one. I am not willing to argue with you.
Boy, that's good.
You know, so
I love these. I feel so peaceful with all these.
Yeah, because you know, these are just simple boundaries. You know, the addict comes home. They want to start fighting, arguing. You say, no, I don't want to give you the money to pay the bill. They want to start fighting. Why don't you want to pay the bills? Why don't you want to do that? You don't love me. And they're starting to fight. And you just say, I'm sorry.
I'm not willing
to argue
that's
with
good.
You.
Mm-hmm.
This is done. Thank you.
Here's a good one. And you and I have practiced this one, too. I'll be happy to talk with you when your voice is as calm as mine.
That's a good boundary. Yeah. I'm easily excitable. So I usually
say, all right, we're going to like calm it down. We're just,
because I'll just get into my point so strongly that I'm emphasizing it so strongly. I get all riled up. And so she'll like, okay, all right, hold on a second.
Yeah,
I'm willing to continue talking, but you got to back it down a little bit. And if I don't, then she's got to leave. And so now, here, your addict wants you to call in for them to take off from work because they stayed out till 3 in the morning doing drugs and drinking. And here's your healthy boundary. I love you, and I'm not willing to call in sick for you when you've been drinking or drugging.
Yep.
See? That's a healthy boundary. Why do I have to lie, cheat, steal for you that because you want to take off sick? But no, I don't have to do that. So there are some examples of how to set clear, healthy boundaries. Now, look. It's very important for you to notice because, again, a lot of us, remember we said we're the doormat and we're the people pleasers? Actually, you are not responsible for the other person's reaction to you setting that boundary, right? So when you say to the addict in the morning, it's early in the morning, they come to you, Mom, Dad, can you call me out sick? And it's like, I love you, son. But no, I will not be calling you out sick because you're out drinking till 3 in the morning. What do you think that addict's going to do? They're going to react to your healthy boundary, right? They're going to curse at you. They're going to scream at you. You are not responsible for their reaction. Their reaction is about who they are. You're responsible for your reaction to their reaction.
So you really don't have to engage in it.
You don't even
that.
Have to engage. No. Use that. Start screaming. Say, yeah, I don't need to argue with you. So thank you. And you can remove yourself from the room. You are only responsible for communicating your boundary in a respectful manner. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, because when they react to you setting that boundary, you got to be careful about how you're going to react to their reaction. Because if you start screaming, yelling again, then you violated that. It's supposed to be respectful. So, they want to scream at you, say, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be calling you out sick. What your boundary does is it upsets them. No, it is their problem. Some people, especially those accustomed to controlling or abusing you or manipulating you, are going to test you. They're going to scream. They're going to yell. They're going to go back to the switchback message that tells you, no, you can't set that healthy boundary. Plan on that to happen. Expect that to happen. So know the game plan ahead of time. But you got to remain firm. Say, no, I'm sorry. I love you a lot, but I'm not going to be calling you out sick today. Remember, your behavior must match your boundary that you're setting. You cannot successfully establish a clear boundary if you send mixed messages by apologizing. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say when you make a statement and you follow it with a but, the but disclaims the previous statement.
I try not to do that.
You know, I care for you a real lot, Kath, but I'm not going to do that. Well, then I just discredit about it. I love you very much.
Just
or care
say
for you very
end.
Much. Yeah. So the point is, if you're going to set the healthy boundary, no, I'm not calling you out sick. Do not say, and I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. Like, hear how mad you are. And I.
No, you don't need to do any of that.
You don't have to be sorry. They're responsible for their emotions.
So right along with that, at first, you're going to feel selfish, guilty, or embarrassed when you set a boundary.
Yeah.
You're going to not feel great when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it anyway and tell yourself you have a right to self-care. It does take practice and determination, and don't let anxiety or low self-esteem prevent you from taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I think when you say that, don't let the anxiety, low self-esteem, I think you need to reinforce to yourself. So when those emotions are probably going to come up. Because again, remember, you're talking about somebody who's been practicing unhealthy boundaries. So when they do come up, you feel that guilt. You need to say to yourself, no, what I just did, the healthy boundary I set was appropriate. No, I do not have to go to shame, guilt.
Correct.
Beat myself up. Yeah.
So this is really a good point. When you feel anger or resentment or find yourself whining or complaining, you probably need to set a boundary.
Yeah.
That's a really important one. Listen to yourself, determine what you need to do or say, and then communicate that assertively.
Yeah.
So listen to yourself.
Yeah, you got to become aware of what's happening with your feelings. A lot of times we're not aware of our feelings.
Right. Well, and it's so much easier to go around and whine about our husband or our son or our friend.
Our spouse.
And our spouse. And, it's so much easier to do that than to actually look inside and see where we feel not so great about ourselves and how to fix that.
And how to set our own boundaries
that
we're not doing. So we're allowing our spouse to violate us.
Yes.
But we only want to complain about the spouse.
Right.
Which I have no control over to change their behavior. But
right.
Over myself and how I react to their behavior.
You do have.
You know, that. So we got to learn how to set these healthy boundaries, and it does take time.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be so hard on yourself. It's going to take a process, and it's going to take practice. We've given you so many examples here. Hopefully you've been able to identify some healthy and unhealthy boundaries that you've had. And I think you need to do that. Take some time, frame out what has been healthy and unhealthy in your life, kind of write them down, and see where you've allowed unhealthy boundaries to be in your life, either you to be violated or you violate somebody else. You see? So you got to have a support system I talked about. Find some friends that are healthier, because right now you may be surrounded with very unhealthy friends, right? Which is helping you continue in this environment of shame, feeling less than, guilt, reacting to your addict in a certain way, not have a healthy. You got to find some people that are going to be a support system who are going to respect your right to set boundaries. You know, you may, and ready for this, think about what we always say. What do we say to the addict? I was on the phone the other day with an addict. I said, you know, you're going to need to remove yourself from the friends that currently enable you to continue using. When I gave up and became sober, I left my friends. You hear that? When I became sober, I left my old friends. Gone. And guess what? You ready for this? You may, you're not even an addict. You may have to eliminate toxic people in your life who do not share the same values and boundaries that you share. They may want to manipulate, abuse, and control you. You may have to end these relationships. This is, I know, a hard save. How can I ever stop talking to Susie Q? We talk to each other every day. Yeah, and she's an abuser of you, takes advantage of you, doesn't know healthy boundaries. Now, of course, you could give her a chance by learning to set
healthy boundaries.
Yeah, by setting some healthy boundaries and see if she's able to reciprocate and also learn on her own about healthy boundaries, you see. So let her listen to this show. When you want to know whether or not a boundary is being violated, you're going to start feeling discomfort.
Right.
You see.
Right.
So when you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you feel discomfort, it may signal that a boundary is being crossed. Either you're crossing one and your conscience is telling you, or somebody's crossing your boundaries.
So you might want to just sit there and feel that for a moment.
And try to say, why am I feeling uneasy right now? Why am I feeling angry right now? You know, why am I feeling so anxious right now? You may have to ask yourself, and then you have to, but you're in a moment of exchange with somebody. You may have to set a boundary and say, you know what? I'd like to come back later, talk about this topic. Mm-hmm. Go away in a quiet corner and figure out what was going on. And if you can't right then just try to get that conversation to be over as soon as possible. Then go away into corner and ask yourself, why was I feeling those feelings? Because apparently boundaries might have been stepped across. Be prepared then to observe your feelings and try to figure them out. Because what will happen is, if you don't take that time out, you're going to revert back to your previous reactions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to catch. Yeah, it's like training. I'm trying to catch myself before I, do those unhealthy doormats, people pleasers, enabling roles. So before I jump into them, I'm feeling a certain way. I'm ready to say something the way I used to. Stop. Slow down. Evaluate it and see what's going on yourself. So you could then set a healthy boundary. So write down some healthy boundary statements, which we gave you earlier.
Yeah. And here's another one. As you're feeling those feelings, realize that it's no one else's job to fix your bad feelings. It's your job to fix them. It's an essential part of the steps to keep you connected to your own power. So if you start to feel something, it's your responsibility to identify it and talk about it maybe with somebody else and then to take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think can you tell us a little bit, Kath, about internalizing an external, you're reacting to externals and you're internalizing it. You're responsible for fixing your feelings.
Yeah.
Because externals are going to say to me that I feel this way because of you.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. No.
That person could say, I'm not saying by them doing it's right. Right. They could say and do anything they want.
Right.
They want to call you an a-hole in front of your face and put their face 6 inches from your face. They could do that because that's who they are. How are you going to take care of yourself?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
So are you going to take on what they say as truth, or are you going to realize what they did is about them and not you?
Yeah, because a lot of people, you're going to, if you have low self-esteem and you feel bad about yourself, you're going to walk away from that with your feelings that are real bad.
Yeah.
And you're gonna think it was because that person's fault.
That's true.
It's their fault. That's external.
That's true.
No, you have to feel good about who you are, even if that person's a jerk and kind of being aggressive against
you. And that takes practice.
Yeah, you need to fix your feelings. You need to know that you're okay, even if that person got into your face and did that to you.
Exactly. So another one is to connect to who you are and what your truth is on the matter. So again, with what he's saying, be prepared to calmly and clearly state and walk this truth. Make sure you follow through things with I statements, not you statements. Here's an example. I feel uncomfortable about doing that. So the answer is no. Rather than saying, I can't believe you'd expect me to do that. I used to do that a lot of times. I can't believe they said that. She taught me that people can say things and it's about me saying, well, I'm not comfortable doing that.
Well, and see, after a while, you get really good at realizing that my feelings are reacting to those people outside. And once I start getting good at that, I'm able to say this phrase, listen, that's about them more than about me. You see? So when your addict gets in your face, say, you're a terrible mom. You're just so bad. And then you want to go away feeling terrible. But once you get good at it, you realize that's about them coming from where they're coming about in their addiction. That's not a true reflection about who you are.
But see, you're going to take it on if you don't know who you really are.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. So you got to know who you really are, that you are a loving, kind, gracious person. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So you may need to detach then from individuals or groups that don't validate you in an appropriate manner.
Right.
You know, your feelings and understand your point of view. For again, remember what I just said 2 seconds ago. An addict has to leave their old friends. You may have to leave your old friends. They don't need to get you. You need to get you.
Yeah.
You understand that? They don't need to get you. They don't have to understand you. They don't have to accept everything who you are, but you have to accept who you are.
Well, but that's also why it's so important to be in a group that helps, because the Nar-Anon, you know, when you go to Nar-Anon or whatever program that you need, you have people there who really do understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
And they're going to validate your feelings.
Yeah. I think you said it earlier. We are kind of lazy people.
That's what this is all about.
We don't want to do the work.
We want everybody else around us to fix themselves and or us fix them, and we do not want to do our own work.
No, we don't want to do our own work.
And we're trying to empower you that this is really about you.
Yeah. I think of a couple things when it comes to healthy boundaries, acceptance, expectations, and limitations. You know, you got to detach yourself from forming certain particular expectations on outcomes of you think should be created with the people that you're involved with.
Yeah, I always have a famous line that I say to a lot of people is lower your expectations.
You do.
We often talk about people who do the same thing over and over and over again, and we're only surprised because we can't believe they did it again. Well, of course they did it again.
And they could do it as many times as they want because it's their life. So why do you get upset every time
exactly.
they do it?
So I look at people and say, lower your expectations.
Exactly.
And then you're not surprised anymore.
No.
And then it could surprise you one day when they actually act a little different.
Yeah, because you're acting different. Yeah. So again, accept that that's who they are, where they're at in their life, the way they're going to react to things, the decisions they're going to make. So I accept that. I lower my expectations and the outcome may be different. So be careful, because I'm actually saying detach from being connected to a particular outcome that you
that's
think
right.
should happen. So
that's
be very
right.
careful with that. People aren't matching your truth. They will either adjust to their behavior to your truth or they're going to depart from you.
Mm-hmm.
So you set the healthy boundaries, relationships may move on.
Mm-hmm.
Unhealthy people will move out of your life. People with healthier boundaries will move into your life. As you set healthy boundaries, as you begin to respect yourself, love yourself, take care of yourself.
So as you set these healthy boundaries, it's a loving act for yourself and others. If you're a loved one of an addict, you may be trying hard to avoid the anxiety you expect you'll feel if you actually say no to your addicted friend, partner, parent, sibling, or child. If you're used to being the peacekeeper in your relationship, it's going to be scary. So it's important at times like this to ask yourself two questions. Number one, what is the most loving thing I can do for the addict person I care about?
Well, I give them money because they are asking me for money and bail them out.
Okay. Is that how's that work for us with all what we already talked
well,
about?
Well, they're still using.
Yeah. So how'd that work for you?
It didn't change them.
Yeah. So. And number two is, what is the most self-respecting thing I can do for myself?
By giving in to the addict and giving them money
exactly.
and bailing them out.
Yeah. So I think you need some help, honey.
Yeah.
It's like, see, this here says the way you respond to the above question will tell you a lot about yourself if you choose to take the time to explore this issue. For example, do you understand that when you allow an addicted person to get away with unhealthy and inappropriate behaviors towards you or anyone else without holding them accountable in any way, that this is essentially not a loving act?
Yeah, and we think it is, yeah.
And also, how do you feel about yourself when you allow others to treat you in disrespectful ways? The reality is that no one can disrespect you with or without your permission. Do you see that each time you allow that kind of behavior from another person, your all-important self-respect takes a hit?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is if you had an addict in your life, the most loving thing that you can do for them is to challenge the way of thinking and behavior. And the best way to do that is to set healthy and appropriate boundaries with them, even if they don't like them.
You hear that last statement? There it is. There's your challenge on boundaries. That completes our show for part two for this month. We hope you got a lot out of it. It is packed, chock full of information. Listen to it over and over. We keep saying that every month.
I'm going to have to listen to it again.
A lot of good stuff. And there's really just so much more material on the table. So again, just want to encourage you, go out and buy the book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes, When to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Excellent book. They have a whole bunch of books on boundaries, raising children, boundaries in marriage.
Boundaries in dating.
Everything. So go look them up. Excellent material. And there's so much more out there. We hope that you find these shows beneficial to you. God bless. We'll see you next month. This is Bill signing off.
Bye.